I wasn't on air because I was in Doha, Qatar, representing Nigeria Info at WISH 2022, the World Innovation Summit for Health. Here's today's big hard fact. The WISH Summit holds every 2 years. 2 years ago, it was in, it didn't happen 2 years ago because, COVID happened. But the last one happened at the Vatican City in Rome, and this one happened in Doha. It's one of the most prestigious health summits in the world. The Qatar Foundation brings together people all over the world working at the cutting edge of health innovation. They come to share their breakthroughs, they come to share their learnings, and they share this with the rest of the world. And I didn't go to Doha alone. Nigeria Info sent two of us. Joining me to have this conversation will be Ifeoma Egbamuno, as soon as I'm able to grab a hold of him. He just got back into Lagos, so he's in traffic at the moment. He may be able to join me over the phone. Fingers crossed, we'll see how that goes. But you see, the first thing I actually want to talk about is the city itself, Qatar. You know, not Qatar. Qatar is the country. Doha, you know. The level of organization in Doha was quite impressive. It was one of the most organized cities I've ever seen, and I've traveled to a number of places, you know. Immigration was very straightforward. When I was leaving, the brief I got was, come with all your documents, you know, and make sure you have several copies of these documents. See me at, what's the word I'm looking for now, at a business center printing different copies. So this one, seven copies, this one, seven copies, this, that. Almost as I reached airport for Doha, nobody even asked me for my documents. Like, they just took my passport from me, scanned it, because before you come, they send you a link that they expect you to fill, and you should fill that link with all your information. So your passport number, your COVID vaccination number, your COVID-19 test result, and any other information that they would require for your trip over there, your visa number, etc., etc. And so as soon as you get in, no one's wasting your time. They'll just take your passport, scan it with their scanner, take a picture of you, and you move along. Like, it was so straightforward, so organized. And I know that this week or last week, I told you how also very inclusive it all was, you know. There was a lot of mobility for persons living with disability, you know. I'd never seen so much effort, so much infrastructure be created to cater to people who are differently abled, you know. So there were cars, there were wheelchairs, there were slopes, there were all kinds of things, you know, for people who live with disabilities. And I've traveled quite a bit, and this was the first time I had seen a city consciously do its best to cater for members of the society who are differently abled from majority of the society. And I was blown away by that. I'm not even going to lie about that. We've got Ifeoma Egbamuno on the phone. Ifeoma, how are you? How come you're not in the studio with me? Where are you coming from?
Hello?
Where are you coming from, Ifeoma? Why are you not in the studio with me?
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, Lagos and beyond. I'm stuck on traffic, very close to the office, just coming back from Port Harcourt. It's been crazy. Lagos is on a lockdown because it rained. Mm. I'm so sorry.
Well, before I came to you, I was talking about how impressed I was by the organization of the city Doha itself. Not even WISH now, just the capital Doha. I was like really blown away by how very straightforward everything else was, how very uncomplicated it was. What was your first impression when you landed in Doha?
So visiting Qatar apparently was the very second time I was leaving the country. First time I left the country, that's Nigeria, was me going to cover the African Nations Championship in Rwanda.
Okay.
Rwanda was quite beautiful. That was about 6 years ago or thereabouts. Quite beautiful, small country, very organized, you know. And it was no surprise, let me just deviate it, but it was no surprise that every time everything good was talked about Africa, at the WISH 2022 conference, Rwanda was always mentioned. you know, you just took me back to 6 days ago, how organized he was. But coming back to your question, I'm still gushing 2 weeks after. I am still gushing, you know. The very moment I stepped back, I'm so sorry, but the very moment, this is me not trying to demarket the country like some persons would think or some persons might want to say. Mm. But the very moment I stepped back into the country at the airport, you know, and I saw that sign, "Welcome to Nigeria," I was like, oh my God, you know, that's the feeling I had, because I just stayed 1 week in a very organized environment where people don't drive through traffic the red light.
Mm.
You know, whatever you need to do, you do it, you know, as it should be done.
And there was no police presence.
Can we talk
about that a bit? Like, I did not see a single policeman in the city of Doha.
That's the thing. Mm. So you knew what you were supposed to do. You didn't need anybody to, you know, order you around, mm-hmm. or a militarized person to tell you, oh, this is what you need to do.
Mm.
Because, you know, everything was orderly.
Mm-hmm.
From transportation, you know, to street light. So a few days after we returned, you know, I had to go to Abuja for a training. And somehow the flights were delayed. You know, so we got into Abuja late in the evening, after 6 or to 7 in the evening.
Mm.
And driving from the airport all the way down, more than 30 minutes, Sandra,
mm-hmm.
there were no street lights.
Mm.
You know, Abuja can as well compete, you know, in terms of architecture, in terms of planning with Doha. But unfortunately, because we don't do things we're supposed to do, how do you drive for 30 minutes? Imagine I was just coming into, I'm not Nigerian.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just coming into the country for the very first time.
Right.
And I land in the federal capital, Abuja.
Right.
And I land by 2-7 p.m. in the evening.
Right.
And I drive 30 minutes from the airport. And all I'm seeing is darkness. It just beggars belief.
It was, and we came in at night, and it was really beautiful. Like, we were seeing all the sights. We were like, oh, you know what? If we stay on that, because it's been 10 minutes, and we just, you know, let's move on. let's move on. So during the opening ceremony panel, Qatar's public health minister said something that stood out for me. She said, as we saw during this pandemic, when health systems are overwhelmed, the whole society is disrupted. Therefore, investing in health systems and building their resilience is not a cost, but an insurance. And we need to collectively pay this insurance, end quote. And then the Tanzanian president, Samia Hassan, made the same point when she was giving her keynote speech. She said, quote, "The pandemic provided us with a worthy lesson that helped us be able to prioritize." While they were speaking, all I could think about was Nigeria. You know, year after year, we see federal and state budgets with very low spending on healthcare. We see medical professionals dying, partly because work conditions are horrible. And I have to ask you, Ufoma, I have my own ideas, but I have to ask you, why do you think that year after year, governments get away with not investing enough in healthcare in Nigeria?
Sandra, the simple answer to that question is that health is not seen as a priority. Sadly, it isn't. So I did a story. I was part of a panel, one of the panels at the Wish Qatar 2022. You know, that was talking about how to invest in the emerging markets. Of course, Africa, one of them. You know, and I did that story earlier this week, I think on Tuesday or thereabout.
Mm.
And in the research, in my research, while I was working on that story, I realized, I saw a very damning stat, you know, that I looked at it and I was like, wait, is this true? Now, what's the stat? Over the last 11 years, Nigeria has spent 72% of its health budget on running offices and paying salaries.
Mm-hmm.
Let me repeat myself. 72% of our health budget over the last 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we have 100 naira to spend on health over the last 11 years, we are spending 72 out of the 100 naira to run offices. That's to buy stamp, whatever needs to be bought in the office, you know, ink, biro, paper, and then paying salaries. We are spending 72 out of every 100 naira.
It beggars belief. It beggars belief.
And then we are just left with 28. Why would our leaders not run to the States or to the UK or to India, you know, for medical checkups? That's the fallout of, you know, the misrepresentation or the inability to put things in order.
Prioritization.
Exactly. That's, you know, it's not a priority. Sadly, also, over the last 10 years, we've had to deal with security challenges.
Right.
So on one hand, I might not necessarily blame the government for spending, you know, a chunk of our budget on security, because that's the reality we found ourselves, you know, since the whole Boko Haram. But again, you'd ask yourself, you look through the budget and you ask yourself, you know, there are certain things on that budget that, why are you doing it? Every year in the health budget, you see, or rather in the budget, you see almost every year, priority is given to the State House Hospital, if my memory serves me right. You know, there's money put out there for it. But sadly, every time our current president has, you know, had health challenges, he's not treated himself at that medical facility. He's had to go to the UK. Femi Adesina will tell you, oh, he wants to go and see
his family doctor.
Before he became president, you know, he's had this doctor.
Yeah.
So, you know, he has to continue. Point I'm trying to make is, until the Nigerian government sees health as a priority, sadly, we'll be going through these circles. So one of the things I kept pointing out, you know, to the guys at the panels that I attended was, here you guys are, you know, trying to solve first world problems, you know, when Africa, and precisely my own country, Nigeria, we're still dealing with third world problems.
And, you know, it really is a combination of factors, you know. So like you mentioned, the government itself and budgeting. When it comes to government work, most people think only about construction, you know. So for healthcare, they're thinking about building hospitals.
Exactly.
How many hospitals and health centers, how many beds, you know. And then as a people, we set the bar too low for government. Even when we focus on construction, we're not asking, okay, is government building enough hospitals, you know? Nigerians, I think, need to have metrics in mind. So for example, we should know how many public hospitals does Lagos need. Then we should hold government, you know, accountable for a plan to get to, okay, well, how many hospitals does Lagos need? How many hospitals can we build per year? You know, when we start to think about things like this, you have a... thankfully, COVID did not affect Nigeria the way it affected the rest of the world.
Oh, we would have been dead, almost all of us.
Oh, thankfully. Sami Hassan also talked about how WISH is making healthcare more democratic. And I want to talk about that a bit more. She said that WISH was making healthcare more democratic by exposing all nations to the latest innovations and policies coming from the more advanced economies. And I wonder, Ufoma, what do you think policymakers in Lagos State, in the Lagos State government and in the federal government can do to, I don't know, take better advantage of the resources and learnings from a platform like WISH?
So the first thing would be, did they even attend?
No.
So that's what...
Well,
that's
you had Gbemi Sola Saraki. Sorry, not Gbemi Sola.
Well, she attended as... because
as a private citizen.
As a private citizen, yes.
True.
She's a public health advocate. You
true.
Know, Gbemi Sola Saraki. Toyin Saraki, right?
Toyin Saraki, not Gbemi Sola.
Yes, the wife of
Bukola Saraki,
the former Senate president. You know, she is a public health advocate. And so she went there on her own as part of what, you know, she does for a living.
Yeah.
The question I kept asking the first 2 days were, where is the Nigerian Minister of Health?
Mm-hmm.
Where is the Nigerian Minister of State for Health?
Mm-hmm.
Where are the Nigerian health administrators? I didn't see anyone. You know, I saw health ministers from at least Two, three African countries.
Rwanda, Tanzania.
Exactly. I interviewed the Minister of Public Health, you know, from Rwanda.
Right.
I think I spoke to another one again from Ethiopia. I can't really remember his name right now.
Right, right.
You know, so the question, first of all, would be, did they avail themselves the opportunity to even attend these kinds of events?
Do they think it's important?
Exactly. You know, I don't think they thought it was important.
Do you think it's important?
Definitely, Sandra. It was important. The 3 days from Tuesday till Thursday, you know, that we had all of the sessions. Obviously, you can't attend all of the sessions.
Them, yeah.
You know, but the ones I attended, my goodness, it was mind blowing. You know, for the innovators there. Thank goodness I was able to, at least there was one Nigerian innovator right there. Hopefully we should have that video up on our YouTube page pretty soon. You know, he actually is, he's been able to solve at least a little bit of a problem in the Nigerian health sector. How? Well, because not a lot of persons have monies, he developed, you know, an app such that you can actually pay for your health insurance with trash. Sandra,
that's
trash.
Right. Yeah.
So you pick all your bottles of drinks and all your toilet papers that you probably use, you know, all your trash, bring them to him, you know, that will substitute for your health insurance. And of course, there are 1,001 Nigerians, you know, who can
benefit from that.
You said?
Who can benefit from that.
You know, so for me, that was quite eye-opening. And it would be great if government, the Nigerian government, or the Lagos state government, if let's speak particularly now because we are right here in Lagos, can look at such an innovation. That's the name. You know, look at such an innovation and see how, you know, they can infuse it to the health.
Invest in it, maybe partner with it, maybe
possibly. You know, there are 1,001 people in Lagos that can as well benefit from that. You could argue in Ikorodu, in Ajegunle, you know, or in Okokomaiko, all of these areas where you probably have lots and lots of trash. They can actually use that. So for me, hopefully, we're going to have another one in 2 years' time. You know, I would think that.
Hopefully, we have Nigeria represented.
Exactly. I would think that, you know, if the health officials of Lagos State, they should be listening because they do listen to Nigeria Info. You know, they should be thinking about
how do we
attending, you know, the next one. I saw an innovator who, guess what, you know, the problem he's trying to solve?
What?
Create a mattress that will help babies sleep.
Yeah, that was quite impressive. It was.
You know, so for me, while that is great, I know that there are quite a lot of Nigerians who can afford it.
It's also really expensive for the average Nigerian. But,
well, for the average Nigerian, it's expensive because he said, you know, it will go up for, say, about $1,000, which is give or take over 700,000 naira.
Right,
but there
now,
are still, there are still a lot of Nigerians that can afford it. If that will help your baby not cry at night, because trust me, I'm sure there are lots of mothers listening to the show now
who would love some sleep.
you know. If the mattress is going to help the baby sleep better.
For me, I would love to see participation from, say, a Lagos state government or federal government at events like this, because there were lots of investors at the summit. So, for example, you had the Qatar Development Bank. You had Global Fund. By the way, we have an interview with Global Fund up on our website and Instagram. You can check it out. These institutions know what African governments need. They know that African governments are broke. So maybe they don't know what we need, but they know that we are broke. And they want to invest. They want to lend. You know, they want to donate. They just want to see that there are interesting projects that are actually solving real problems. You know, like this trash collection one.
Exactly. You did mention the Global Fund. Part of, in fact, almost more than half of their money is actually going to Africa. You know, that's what the Global Fund
was set up for.
VP board, Roselyn Morata. That's what she told me, you know, in that interview that we have on our website. 72% of the funds they generate comes to Africa. So it would be great to have Lagos State government, for example, or the Nigerian government, you know, collaborate with these international organizations.
But they can only do that if they start thinking about new ways to solve our healthcare problems and start telling their stories better. Because it's one thing to say, oh, yes, let's collect your money. But these people also want to see that you're solving real problems.
No, you can't just collect money for collecting's sake. Yeah. Obviously, you would have to show working, like we say in local parlance here. You have to show that whatever monies you've collected, you know, has been put into great use. Mm. But then, for you to be able to even get those monies, you need to be at the forefront of it. You need to be at events such as the Wish Summit, exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm also thinking about partnerships. They are another big thing. Later on, we'll talk about how BioNTech is coming to three African countries and Nigeria is not one of them. I think a conference like WISH is a good way for, I don't know, our government to find out, okay, well, what partnerships are out there? What groundwork do we need to do to key in, you know? It's not just for people like Ufoma that like to speak big English. Lagos, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. On today's Big Hard Fact, we're asking, well, what can Nigeria learn from the World Health, Innovation Summit for Health? Ufoma and I attended, represented Nigeria Info FM, and a lot of the learnings there we are currently sharing with you here on 99.3 Nigeria Info. We've got about 3 minutes before we have to take a long break. But before that happens, I've got information that I need to share with you. I absolutely have to share with you. Yes?
Yes. So it's still the cocktail week, my dears. So I'm here to always remind you that please call on your squad
production to Africa. And like I mentioned before the break, the founders of BioNTech, did you like that they were husband and wife, by the way?
Yep.
Did you know before that?
Yes, I did. Okay. I've seen a couple of
years. Transfer vaccine manufacturing tech from one place to another. Mm. So they are bringing vaccine manufacturing to Rwanda next year, your favorite city, then to South Africa.
No. Who's favorite city?
Sorry. Rwanda.
I haven't been
year.
To my favorite city, Cape Town.
Okay, all right. Well, they're going to South Africa next, so maybe you will go there and come. And then they're also going to Senegal after that, hopefully. Ufoma, the fact that Nigeria isn't on that list as even a third choice is a sign that we're not doing well, like Mr. Macaroni will say. We're not doing the groundwork to attract that sort of investment, that sort of partnership. And when I say groundwork, I mean everything from having constant power and water to fast internet to proper manufacturing and lab tech standards to even trained personnel, you know, because after all the trained personnel, the Jabba.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how we can correct these things. Do you think we can correct these things?
Yes, we can, but it's not going to happen overnight.
Of course.
It will take a mindset change.
Right. What do you mean when you say mindset change?
We would need to have leaders who understand that health is a priority. By the way, I'm no longer on the phone. I'm right here in the studio.
Yes, he is.
I finally beat traffic.
I beat you, Dad.
So we need to have leaders, you know, that will have a change of mindset. Mm-hmm. Presently, there's a lot of jackpying. Not like it started today. Mm-hmm. Growing up, Andrew, no checkout used to be a thing.
It always happens when the economy goes really bad.
Exactly.
Governance is really bad. People vote with their legs.
Exactly. You know, that's what happened, you know, in that 80s. Guess who was head of state at the time. Let's move on.
This is not a political show.
You know, so we need to have that mindset change. So yesterday there was this conference in Abuja. I was following it up online, and the representative of the Minister of Health, you know, talked about the fact that it's a bit of a worry that our health professionals are leaving the country in droves.
Numbers,
you know, that, you know, as part of the solutions to tackle that, mm-hmm. he is looking at taxing these countries that our health professionals go to. And I'm asking myself, for the love of God, if you do the, if you do things right in the country, people will not leave. Even if they want to leave, it won't be in the number. But instead of looking at practical solutions to solve that, the only thing in your head is how to make more money, how to tax the countries. By the way, I don't even see how feasible that is, but let's even forget that conversation. So which is why I said we need to have a mindset change. We need to believe that education, health, these things are priorities. You know, as much as security is a priority, yes, but you, there are other things too that are priorities. Not spending hundreds of millions.
And security and health can actually be priority side by side.
Exactly.
Because if a bomb goes off and people are hurt,
they have to go,
to the
hospital. Exactly.
The hospitals have to exist. Equipment for saving their lives have to exist. Paramedics have to exist. Ambulance and emergency services have to exist.
So you, you did mention, you know, at the start of the show that most of our politicians and leaders are more concerned with building hospitals. They're more concerned with physical structures. Oh, let it be on the record that this is my achievement. I did this, or name it after themselves, you know, without really looking at policies, you know, or structures that would last way beyond them. And then again, there's no continuity. So one let me use River State for example. So the former governor Rotimi Amaechi, hate him or love him, you know, if there's one thing he actually did very well, it was to invest in health and education. Well, I'm sorry, the present governor, with all the monies he, kudos to him, there's been a lot of infrastructural development, especially in Port Harcourt. Kudos to him. But I'm not seeing a continuation of that investment in health and education, as the former governor. So whatever gains that must have
been made under Amaechi
would have, you know, gone to the drain. So that's part of the problem, where, you know, Rwanda and Senegal and South Africa will come first before in Nigeria, yet we claim to be the giants.
And you know, I don't think we make that claim anymore. And you know, more and more we're seeing countries use the hub model. So for example, in Doha, where we were doing the conference, it was in the education city, right? They also have the media city, they have the health city. These cities are built from ground up to handle a particular sector, a particular industry. So even if you cannot build all the right infrastructure across the country, you can maybe concentrate some infrastructure in an area.
True.
Use that to attract investors. Use that to attract partners. The Chinese did that, by the way, in Guangdong, for tech manufacturers, I believe. That's why that they were able to attract Apple and Microsoft and Intel and Motorola, all these big OEMs from the West. Maybe we can do the same thing here.
I think we should actually be looking at that. Kudos also maybe to the Lagos State government that they are also trying to make those kinds of attract those kind of investments, especially when it comes to tech. They're trying to make Lagos like the tech hub of Nigeria. If we can't build these health infrastructure across the country, it might it might not be possible. We don't even have the monies. Let's also be honest with ourselves.
That's why you need to attract investment.
Exactly. And look at, put these policies and look at these hubs like you mentioned. In fact, let me even shock you. You're talking about education, city and health. One of the panels I attended was building smart cities for people with disability.
Yes.
You know, I goodness me. I went to that panel, sat there for 45 minutes and literally was just shaking my head.
Like, oh,
I was forced to ask a question to the UN rep, you know, who was actually there, and it felt like I was using the same line almost everywhere.
You're
solving first world problems
because they're first world nations.
We still have power generation as a problem in Nigeria. Guess what? Is part of the things that were supposed to have been unbundled with the new with the constitutional amendment. 25 of the state assemblies have said no. They are not voting. They're not passing those bills until the National Assembly includes state policing, and I think four bills. Now, what that means is all those hallelujah we were shouting just a few months ago, it looks like it's not going to happen. So the point I'm trying to make is I'm tired.
Because it just seems like something that could be straightforward to do. You know, you choose maybe one of our richer states like Lagos, like you've mentioned, what they're trying to do with the tech organizations. You can carve out an area specifically for biotech, you know, choose maybe Unilag as your focal point.
Exactly.
You know, put serious money into improving its biomedical sciences departments, you know, getting to an independent power agreement of sorts like the estates that are plenty in Lagos are doing, get the telcos to roll out 5G, optical fiber, start giving foreign biotechs some incentives to come in.
They need those incentives. If you don't give them those incentives, it will be a problem. Just, was it this morning, I was working on the Nigeria Info headlines, you know, or was it yesterday night? I can't remember when I saw that story. The federal government, you know, giving that unilateral order to the telcos
to reverse.
Yes, for the average Nigerian who's spending more money, that's great news. Oh, telcos had increased. People didn't even know that they had increased their
monies.
I know because I have a friend, you know, who works for one of them, and he told me about a month ago, you know. But that's a problem for me because these are supposed to be companies. They're supposed to be profit making. We're supposed to be in a capitalist economy, so
you're
to
not
speak,
in a capitalist economy.
Where you know they make these decisions.
Let's be serious,
but
please.
The federal government can just wake up one day and say, no way, you're not doing this. What incentive will a Moderna or a what's the other ones, you know,
BioNTech?
What incentives, you know, would you give to them to say, oh, come to Nigeria, when they know that with one statement a minister can as well change a policy that may have taken 10 years to work on? Yesterday we were all celebrating the president signing the startup bill. Great. You know, absolutely amazing for those in the tech world.
It's but not great, Joe.
Wait,
they don't want it.
One day, somebody will wake up one day and tell you,
it's very limiting for them.
We are banning Twitter. Because Nigeria is a sovereign country. Meanwhile, there's supposedly a bill that has been signed.
Right.
Is this policy flip-flops, you know, from a government that's a bit of a challenge that will make companies not even think about Nigeria
be
in
like,
the first
yeah,
place.
Yeah, okay, cool. You know, this is not somewhere we can go. But, you know, this ties in with the concept of healthy cities, which was talked about. I don't know if you were paying attention to when the executive chair for World Innovation Summit for Health, Professor Lord Darzi, was speaking.
Yeah.
And he said that the World Health Organization recognized all cities in Qatar as healthy cities.
Yep.
You know, and what that basically means is that the city has been designed in a way that makes a healthy lifestyle easy to obtain and has great access to health cities. I mean, there were places for people to run, places for people to walk. Of course, you can't run in Doha because you probably melt from the sun. But also the architecture was built in a way that to trap the sun, sort of, and keep you in shades all the time. Everywhere was green. There were trees everywhere. This was a desert.
This is
someone that used to be a desert.
Just 16 years ago,
it was
Sandra.
A desert. You know, and there's like green trees everywhere.
And you ask yourself, how come? Same crude oil. Remember that was a conversation we were both having all through our stay in Doha.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm on the same crude oil. Not the same crude oil.
Waiting the occur. Waiting the. But let's bring it home to Nigeria. Let's bring it to Lagos in particular. When we talk about public health, we're often talking about, like I said at the beginning, building hospitals, giving early vaccines to babies. What were some of the things that Wish made you think about that we should be doing differently?
The fact that we should plan properly for things. It's not been one of our strongest points. We never plan, or we plan for just, you know, the next 1 month. You know, people plan 5 years ahead. People plan 10 years
ahead. Well, we do. We have Vision 2020.
Please give me a break. Just give me a break. Let's not even get there.
Sorry.
I once said I was going to be president in 2020. You said year 2000.
You said you were going
to
be president.
Yeah, I was as a child. I said I was going to be president in the year 2000. Well, it's 22 years after.
Look at you.
I'm still doing he said, she said.
I've got information to share with you very quickly before I let Ufoma Egbamuno go.
All right, this is coming from Metaforce. And they're saying that if you want to make more money and you want to create wealth, they're here for you. Mm. All you have to do is make yourself available for Friday, the 22nd, 21st of October 2022. Friday, 21st October 2022. Time is 10 a.m. Venue is Block A Suite 55 Premier Tech Plaza, Egbeda Idimo by Mokola Bus Stop. Come and be part of this life changing experience. For more details on this, call 0803 537 8115. 0803 537 8115. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I wish we had more time to stay on this because there's so much more that I want to talk about. But hopefully in the next 2 years, we'll be back at Wish.
Hopefully.
And hopefully we'll see a lot more Nigerian representation as far as policy and Wish. Governance
in
is
fact,
concerned.
In fact, Sandra, I think we would, Tony Saraki did mention to me when we spoke that we need to continue that conversation away from Doha. Mm-hmm. We need to continue the conversation right here in Nigeria. And it would be great to put more pressure on policymakers. I will
to
be
make
sad.
It happen. Okay, thank you very much, Ufoma Egbamuno. I have a break. If I leave Ufoma, Ufoma will keep me here. I have a break coming up. After the break, I have an interview with Apex eMart. They'll tell us what they have in store for you after the news at 6. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. This is Hard Facts.
There is a new way to move around Lagos. From Lekki to Oshodi. From anywhere to everywhere.